ADA in action.
Hey everybody, my name is Claire Stanley and I'm coming at you from the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center at Transcend Incorporated. And this is my partner in crime.
I'm Laura Owens with Transcend Incorporated.
We're here today to do the inaugural episode of our new podcast, The ADA in Action. So we just wanted to take some time to tell you who we are, what the podcast is all about, and just get to know you a little bit.
So this is really exciting, Claire. I'm so happy to be here on this inaugural podcast. I'm going to talk a little bit about Transcend and who we are since we house the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center.
Great. Come at us. Let us hear
right.
who you are.
So Transcend has been around for 30 plus years. And we
older than I am.
Older than, oh man. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And we have an international footprint on the disability world. We do training and technical assistance around the world, nationally and in other countries, where we provide information about employment for people with disabilities and transition for youth with disabilities. We also do research, so we partner with a lot of different people like Virginia Commonwealth University and Mathematica and WESTAT and other types of universities to kind of research what are evidence-based practices and how do we kind of move the employment field forward for individuals. And then most importantly, I think, in my mind, is our direct service, where we have a footprint across three states, California, Wisconsin, and Maryland.
Go California.
Go Wisconsin.
Both our home states.
And we actually assist individuals with disabilities in obtaining and maintaining employment in the community through customized employment, and then we kind of practice what we preach, so we can actually say we are doing the work that we're researching and that we're training on. So really exciting stuff at Transcend.
That's really exciting. And this is Claire. I am part of the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center project at Transcend Incorporated. We are a project funded by HHS, and we're part of a larger project, excuse my language, that's part of an project, again, funded through HHS to educate the community on what the ADA is. We have some technical assistance lines you can call to get any of your questions answered. We have online resources where you can get materials on just about anything under the ADA, lots of things to read. And we can also go out into your community and do training where you will see my lovely face as the training specialist to come out and do the training. So check us out online and give us a call at 1-800-949-4232 to get your questions answered. So we are a presence out there. So we thought it would be fun to introduce you to us. We already said who we are, but want to give you a little bit more information on who Laura is and who I am, so you kind of have an idea of who these crazy people are. So, Laura, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? We know you're from Wisconsin.
I am. Go Badgers. Orange Bowl this year. So I'm from Wisconsin. I was a former teacher of students with significant disabilities, and I actually had the first group of students with significant intellectual and physical disabilities in a general ed high school.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool, because prior to that, they were all segregated into segregated places. And that's what I love about the ADA is, you know, the ADA sort of helped with that movement to making sure that young adults with disabilities could actually access and be part of their general high schools in their communities. So I did that for 12 years, and then my first group of students graduated high school, and they were all relegated to what we commonly know as sheltered workshops or segregated facilities.
Yeah.
And I was told basically that they were too severely disabled to work in the community. And this was right at the ADA, right in 1990-1991. So it was my
Laura,
call.
You don't look old enough to have been there at that generation.
I love you, Claire.
Keep in mind, audience members, I am blind, but that doesn't matter.
But yeah, so it was so exciting because the ADA was right there, and I said, this is my moment. This is what I need to do. So I left my nice secure teaching position and started an organization called Creative Employment Opportunities that transitioned youth from school to integrated employment before we even were thinking about customized employment. So I did that for 27 years. I know, again, don't look that old, but she is blind, but that's okay. But I did that for 27 years and then was recruited to get my doctorate at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and then became a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And then was fortunate enough to be recruited to work with Transcend, with this awesome group of professionals who around the country who just do amazing things. And what I really love again about Transcend is the fact that it's my passion that we walk the walk. We don't just talk about what we do, but we actually do what we say and train on and research. But again, the ADA being housed here, I think, has been so helpful because it kind of helps with everything that we do with our training and our direct service. So we have an opportunity to really kind of build and expand our services. And so it's very exciting. So that's kind of my background.
That's super exciting. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I am Claire Stanley. I'm the training specialist at the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center here at Transcend Incorporated. A little bit about myself. I graduated from law school in 2015, so about 2.5 years ago. My background is in law surrounding the ADA, or the Americans with Disabilities Act, and other pieces of law that promote the rights of persons with disabilities. Before I graduated from law school, I did a couple internships and jobs in different entities that promote the civil right of the ADA. I interned at the U.S. Department of Justice Disability Rights Section, Disability Rights California, woohoo California, and Disability Rights Advocate. So a lot of work with promoting the Americans with Disabilities Act and making sure that the civil rights of persons with disabilities were protected and ensured. After law school, I did a one-year fellowship at Disability Rights DC, go DC. And now I've been really fortunate to be the training specialist here at the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center at Transcend. Some fun random facts about me. I have an identical twin sister. No, she's not blind, and she has been asked on many occasions why she could suddenly see. So always fun there. And I have a big, friendly black Labrador named Kodiak, who's my guide dog and my sidekick at all times. So.
And he truly is your sidekick.
Truly.
He has his own personality.
Yes, and you can probably see lots of pictures of him on our website, so check that out.
Absolutely.
So what's this podcast all about? We want to teach people about the ADA and what it's all about. Do you want to talk a little bit, Laura, about what the ADA is and why we're doing that?
Yeah. So the Americans with Disabilities Act, I mean, I think, again, as I tell my students all the time, it is the Civil Rights Act for mm-hmm. people with disabilities. I mean, it is really what I have to think that if it wasn't for the ADA, I might not have reached out and started my business 27 years ago or 30 years ago now. So the ADA is just really making us look differently at the lives of individuals with disabilities in society and making, you know, leveling the playing field, quite frankly.
Yeah.
It's really a non-discrimination law that says you just can't discriminate against somebody with a disability. And unfortunately, as you probably know, that people with disabilities are still the last minority group to be assimilated into our societies. Sadly, 30 years later, after the passage of the ADA. But the ADA has so many implications across lives. I mean, just in terms of, I know in my own state, sadly, we were one of the states that kind of wanted to put a kibosh on the ADA because of the transportation. Mm-hmm. You know, making sure buses were accessible, and everybody said, well, that can't happen because we live in the Rust Belt and there's snow. And well, people with disabilities still need to get out in the weather, so I don't understand that issue. But you know, but I have to tell you, even when I was teaching, my colleagues would say, well, you know, it's raining out, we can't have our students go out in the community because it's raining. And I'm like, you know what? The world rains and snows and sleets and
especially
hails.
Wisconsin. Yeah.
Exactly. So what message are we telling people? So I think the ADA kind of helped us really look differently at why are we expecting making things different for people with disabilities. They should have the same opportunities and access to the world that the rest of us have. And quite frankly, you know, when I look at disability, I feel like we all have some kind of disability. Some of it is internal, some of it is external, some of it is overt, some of it is covert, but we all have some sort of disability. So I think the ADA is so important, and, you know, goes with post-secondary education and employment and housing and transportation and telecommunications. And, you know, it always amazes me when I think about my friends who are deaf, and prior to the ADA, they couldn't even order a pizza.
Tragic.
I know. That's what I thought. Exactly. So, you know, that's I think the ADA has just opened up so many opportunities for not just people with disabilities, but I think for society to really kind of open up their eyes a little differently about, you know, all of the people that are in our communities.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of like Laura was saying, I think it's so important to remember that the ADA applies in everyday life. You know, it's not just this, you know, little microcosm of, oh, now that the ADA was passed, you know, Joe Schmo might be able to ride a bus or something like that. Right. No, it's super expansive. Like Laura said, now we can, you know, someone who's deaf can order a pizza. That's huge. We all need our pizza.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Things like, you know, getting medical care. That's huge. You know, anybody needs medical care. Going to the mall, going to the movies, getting an education, you know, going to a restaurant, just super everyday things that are so important.
Yeah. And you know, I think that right after the ADA was passed, it was an interesting story. I was at a restaurant, speaking of restaurants, it was the Macaroni Grill, and it was in Madison. And I don't know if they're even still around, but they used to have like singers, like that was their shtick. Like they would have, you know, the hostesses would come and seat you, and then they would sing this opera or something, like really silly. And I went in there one day, and there was a hostess who happened to be blind with a guide dog.
Okay.
I was blown away. I was like, this is fantastic. This is amazing. So I walk in, and she sings this beautiful aria to me, and I'm like, that was gorgeous. That was great. She's like, well, thank you so much. And she walks away. And then I'm watching her like seat all these people, just, you know, like nothing. And I thought, wow, this is great. So after my meal, I asked to see the manager. And of course, whenever that happens, waitresses are always like, oh my God, is everything okay? I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, I just want to talk to the manager. And I said to him, this is fantastic. I said, this is, you know, amazing that, you know, just a couple years after the ADA, you have hired, you know, a hostess. Who would think that, you know, somebody who's blind using a guide dog could be a hostess? And you clearly stepped out of the box. And he said, well, I put an ad in the paper, and, you know, the ad said that you have to be able to sing, and this is what I'm looking for. So she called me up and said, this is what we can do. And she said, well, I probably should let you know that I'm blind. And he said, but can you sing? And she said, I'm a music major. He's like, okay, come on down. And he said, I didn't even think about the fact that she was blind, because she could sing, and that was the primary function of the job. And I was like, wow, amazing.
I love that. That's
such
so
a great story.
Yeah. You loved it. Unfortunately, you don't always hear stuff like that. So
no,
that's great.
No, you really don't. So, you know, it just shows that, you know, the ADA has really helped kind of move that idea, not across everybody, but in some instances, that people started thinking differently about it. And what I love about housing the ADA Center at Transcend is the fact that we have access to all this information.
Yeah.
And it's not one of those laws that just was passed and then we shelve it and go, yeah, it's there. It's a law that we are saying, call us at the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center, or look at our website, or get on our mailing list, so that you can have access to all of this material, so that you can truly implement the ADA.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's great. And it's kind of already been touched upon, but something that's so important to remember is that the ADA isn't this, you know, affirmative action, like you said, put it on the shelf. Oh, that, you know, warm and fuzzy.
Right.
That's so great. It's there. No, it's a piece of civil rights legislation. So it's there to make sure that persons with disabilities have the right to be there and have access to what other people have access to.
Yeah. Things we take for granted, quite frankly, for people who don't have disabilities. But I think what's really important that distinguishes the ADA from other civil rights laws is the fact that it isn't a quota bill. So it's not like an employer can say, oh, we already have a person with a disability, so we don't need to hire anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it really is a non-discrimination law.
Exactly.
Saying you can't discriminate, period.
Yeah. I like that, period. Mm-hmm. It's right there. Yeah. So on that topic of the ADA, I'm just going to give a brief overview of what the ADA is. I won't be here all day, which I could, because the ADA is huge. And as my legal nerd self, I could be here all day, but I'll spare you guys from that. But the ADA was passed on July 26, 1990. I was 2 years old, but I like to think but I like to think that even that day I was jumping up and down and was happy, because I knew somehow that it was such a big day. It has five different sections. Title I deals with employment, so important. Title II and Title III deal with providing services, both Title II in publicly funded areas like, you know, city hall, courthouses, that kind of thing. Title III dealing with businesses, so those restaurants we were just talking about, movie theaters, etc. Title IV and V deal with transportation and miscellaneous things, telecommunications, and those kinds of things. So it's hugely expansive. One thing people often mix up is that the ADA followed. It was the successor of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 that did very similar things. In fact, the language of the ADA very much so mirrors the language of the Rehabilitation Act, but the difference is that the Rehab Act only applied to those things that had federal funding. The ADA applies to everything. So a lot of times people will say, oh, well, you don't get federal funding. And we say, no, that was the Rehab Act. Now this is the ADA. Things have really changed. So that's something really important to remember. Again, I could go on and on and on, but the ADA ensures that persons with disabilities have reasonable accommodations or modifications. We could talk about the language all day, but make sure that reasonable accommodations are there so that persons with disabilities can have access to goods, services, programs, and those kinds of things. So lots of things to talk about, and again, that's why we encourage you to go on our website, call that 1-800 number, request training so you can see my beautiful face here in the Mid-Atlantic region, and that's just you know, really, you know, 30,000 foot view of what the ADA is all about.
I think the other thing, Claire, that's really important with the ADA is that, you know, I always tell my students that disability is the only minority group that any one of us can be part of at any point in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think with the ADA, it has been able to sort of level the playing field for people who become or acquire disabilities, or people who are elderly who become disabled. Yes. I mean, you know, I take care of my great aunt. Well, my husband takes care of my great aunt, but and after her stroke, she now uses a wheelchair and she needs different kinds of access that has been helpful for us to be able to get to maintain her ability to live in the community. So I think the ADA is so far reaching, not just you know, this sort of little small area.
It's huge. The statistics say that about 1 in 6 or 50 plus million Americans have some kind of disability. But like Laura was saying earlier, really, I think you could say it's much bigger than that, that everybody can be in that community. And we're seeing, sorry, Mom, I know you fall into this category, that the baby boomer generation is really growing, and that more persons in that generation are starting to acquire what they might not identify as a disability, but really can be covered under the definition of disability, which is a huge topic that we encourage you to hear about later in future podcast episodes. But yeah, really big area. So it's really affecting everybody. And like Laura said, anybody at any time can become a member of that community. So it exceeds, you know, racial lines, socioeconomic lines, gender lines, whatever it might be. So it's really big out there.
Absolutely.
So again, just want to kind of touch upon the fact that the ADA and ADA uses can be applicable to all kinds of things. So many examples of where the ADA applies. And Laura, feel free to jump in, but some examples I was thinking of were accommodations in post-secondary education. I'm blind. I went to college and then on to law school. I got my books in accessible formats. I got extra time on tests, so all kinds of different forms of accommodations so that I could be successful. The ability to go to restaurants. I always like to tell really fun stories of when I've gone to restaurants with 10 plus blind people. Always fun. You can tell the hostess or host and the servers are baffled and don't know what to do when we ask them to read us the menu and help us get our plates and get in and out of the restaurant really makes me laugh and smile, because you can tell how uncomfortable they are. Always fun. So many different types of examples. Can you talk about
any others? I think that's great, because I know that, you know, for part of the work that we do or that I've done working with employment, a lot of times, you know, just to find opportunities or experiences, we want to make sure that they have access to the community. And and I think sometimes I remember one employer years ago basically saying to me, well, are there that many people with disabilities in our community? Mm-hmm. Because really, when you think about it, we kind of shuttled them from home to school. Then when they were done with school, it was home to shelter workshop. So they were so isolated. So this is a great story too of a young woman that I worked with who was looking for a job. She lived in an institution in Madison for most of her life, but was lucky enough to go to a typical high school. Had a fabulous teacher, and she was deaf and blind and had an intellectual disability. And she was just an amazing woman. I mean, just super amazing. And then when she graduated, she moved to Milwaukee, and her guardian said, well, we want you to work with her because we trust you. So her first job, I thought, okay, this is great. She's deaf and blind and has an intellectual disability. Okay, we helped her get this position at a local hospital where she stocked the crash carts. Very physical, so she could use her hands, and we thought it was perfect. Until about a half hour into the shift, she would start acting out and throwing things and hitting and me grunting, and I was like, oh my God. But again, we would look at that and go, okay, she's not job ready. And I hate that term for that reason, because the ADA is very clear, everybody's job ready. We just need to accommodate. And so it turns out that the hospital smelled like the institution. And so because her primary sense was smell, that was what she went with. And so, you know, you got this woman dragging you around and making you do these things in a place that you're smelling that gives you bad memories. So for the next few times, I said, well, let's go out. Let's go out, see what's in her community. So we went to, I'm not a big Food and Filth fan, but in her case, we found a Pizza Hut, which was like 3 blocks from her house. And every Friday, we would go have pizza at Pizza Hut. And I would sit there and I would talk to her. And again, she's deaf and blind. And we had tactile signs for her, and she would order her pizza. And you're right. I mean, the waitresses were like, what will she have? And I'm like, I don't know. You need to ask her. Yep.
Get that all the time.
And it was this huge educational experience for these waitresses. And then we did this for like 6 months. I mean, this was a long standing relationship. And so the waitresses sort of, oh, okay, Maddie's here. Okay. Then they would, they would wait for her to put her tactile signs down to order what kind of pizza she wanted and what kinds of drinks she wanted. And then finally the manager came up and said, okay, what's the story here? What's going on?
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? And he said, you are here like every Friday with this woman who clearly is not communicating like the rest of us. And I said, oh, well, this is Maddie. She lives in the neighborhood and she's looking for a job. We're looking for opportunities for her, and I'm just, you know, getting to know her. Well, as luck would always have it, this manager happened to have a son with a disability, and he said, you know what? I have a son with a disability. I hope somebody does this for my son. I think there's opportunities here for her. And lo and behold, we created a position for her because he knew her, he saw her, and he saw her talents and skills.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we had to accommodate. We had to make modifications in the work that she did. But she was a valuable employee for 18 years at Pizza Hut. Yeah,
also
really good.
Also
a beautiful smell. And she loved it because it was something she liked to smell.
That's great.
So, you know, she outlived 12 managers after being there for 18 years.
That's awesome.
But now she's working at Menominee Falls School District as an administrative assistant. And
that's great.
So just, you know, but again, accommodations and looking at ways that you can change the work setting or change the way things are done. You don't have to always do tasks the same way.
Yep.
You, as long as you get the job done, that's the most important thing. And I think that's what the ADA opened up for us is, you know, you don't have to always follow the way everybody else does things. People with disabilities can get the job done in a variety of ways.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times as a person with a disability, I've had job interviews where you can tell the person's thinking, well, how in the world is she going to accomplish this job? And I say, accommodations, you guys. I got the assistive tech, and I use Braille or whatever it might be. So, again, the ADA opening that ability to to, you know, use a reasonable accommodation to be
absolutely
successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that there was a quote, and I wish I could quote the person who said it, but there was a quote about the ADA that especially at the 25th anniversary, mm-hmm. that said that the ADA opened the doors for people with disabilities, and now we hope that the next 25 years will get people with disabilities in the door.
Yeah.
I think that's so powerful, because I think now we have employers that are looking at reasonable accommodations and saying, okay, we understand, because now they're realizing if they make those accommodations for somebody, they might help other employees, or they might help other customers. And I think that now it's a matter of helping employers see that individuals with disabilities are viable, mm-hmm. employees with career options too, yeah. not just that entry level, here, be happy you have this entry level position, yeah. but let's look at career opportunities and moving yeah. you up the ladder.
Exactly. I love hearing Laura talk about clearly her passion in employment, if this is what Laura's all about. And I think this is a perfect segue to talk about why we're doing this podcast. This podcast is about talking about how the ADA applies in real life. We can talk all about what the law says and, you know, how it works and that kind of thing. But this podcast is also to take a step further and say, you know, what's the ADA all about? How does it work? We're going to have lots of great guests with disability themselves, or who work in the community, doing research in the community, you know, all kinds of different perspectives, but just showing that we can take the ADA a step further and not just say, this is what the law says, but show how it works, show what people are doing with it, talk about personal experiences, all kinds of things. So that's what the ADA in action is all about. We're going to talk about how it's working in action. So that's what this podcast is going to be all about. I can give you a sneak peek of some of our upcoming episodes. We have an upcoming episode that's going to talk about the rights of parents with disabilities in the educational setting. We often think about children who get accommodations through the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA. But what about the parents? They have a right to reasonable accommodations so they can help their kids succeed as well. So that's an upcoming episode we really encourage you to come and listen to. We're going to talk about reasonable accommodations in post-secondary educations, where we often think that accommodations look like getting your textbook in a accessible format, which is huge. Don't get me wrong. I use that. But accommodations can also look different. I have a friend who is a performing arts major. Her accommodations looked totally different because it's a different type of major. So that's another upcoming episode. We have so many coming up. So those are just some sneak peeks of upcoming episodes. So we encourage everybody to see how the ADA works in action every day. And that's where we're going to conclude today. We just encourage everybody to keep looking at our upcoming episodes. We're going to be presenting a new episode every 2 weeks or so. We encourage everybody to come and listen and tell your friends and learn more. Again, we just want people to be aware of what the ADA is, how it works every day, and follow what the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center and Transcend Incorporated are doing every day to teach people about the ADA and help persons with disabilities get involved in the work world. Laura, did you want to include anything as we close today?
No, I think, again, I encourage people to listen to the additional podcasts. We have a great team at the Mid-Atlantic ADA Center, and encourage people to call the 1-800 number and to listen into the podcasts and be part of our community. Very exciting times.
Great. Yeah, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Just find out who we are. And again, you can call us at 1-800-949-4232. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Claire.
ADA in action.